Thank you so much to our praise and worship team. This is 5 weeks, I believe, we've been worshiping from home. Our auditorium is basically empty, but every song, every line, every word was powerful. It is the gospel set to beautiful music, and I know you appreciate, while you're worshiping at home, our great praise and worship team that have been so faithful. Now, you could say amen and clap your hands, and they wouldn't be able to hear it. So why don't you just send up a few hearts right now to let our praise and worship team. And if credits would roll at the end of all this, they would look something like this. Oliver Bruton, our leader, I love what he said. He said, it's the Holy Spirit who's the leader. So what a great combination. Our great singers with him, Missy Carpenter, Tracy Rowell, and Lena Hughes. The great musicians we have, the best on every instrument. Mark Daniels on the piano, Khaki White on keyboards, Larry Pearson on bass guitar, Justin Pearson on drums, and David Carpenter on electric guitar. They are the best. We send our love and our hearts up to you and thank God for you. I do want to also, while we're at it, say a special thank you to the very few who are here in technical support. And our cameraman is right here today. Just so you know, Beth Bruton is running our computer and our media back there. She's so faithful. And then Jonathan Seal is our great sound technician. Thank you both for being here. And then Nicholas Campbell is a part of our director staff on the floor. He can do it all, and we're grateful. And there's our cameraman, Will Moody. That's a fresh shot right there. So Pastor Steve is also here. You'll hear from him a little later in our service. In fact, he's going to make an announcement he's never made before, and it's good news for all of you. But thank you, those of you. We have a 15,000 square foot building and about 15 people here. And so we're not violating any guidelines. We're respecting each other's space. We couldn't do this without all of you, and thank you so very much. I do want to say that we've learned some things since this has been going on. We have known it all along, but we've learned that the church is not a building. We are the church. Buildings are empty all over the nation and throughout the world because of a crisis, but the buildings may be empty, but the church is filled and overflowing. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that we're to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's always been a vital part of Christian community. And worship is our fellowship together, our assembling together for our worship. We're unable to do that right now. However, we are virtually assembling together. And we have people watching even now from many states. So we appreciate you for worshiping with home. We are connected and we are assembled together for our online services. Now, Jesus spoke to an issue like this in John chapter 4 in verse 23 when he told the Samaritan woman, she was asking about how to worship, where to worship. She said, some people worship on the mountain, but you say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. So you may be worshiping from your home, a handful of us worshiping here in the sanctuary. We're all assembled together because we're worshiping in spirit and in truth. And so, well, now I'll just say this. If the enemy thought that a virus could destroy the church by forcing us to stay home. What has happened is 75 million homes in America this morning have become houses of worship. So it backfired on the enemy. And I have also noticed during this time that the crisis is bringing out the best in people, bringing out the best in all of us. You can look at it from doctors and nurses. There is pressure on them and their vocation. They're rising to the challenge, and this crisis is bringing out the best in them. Teachers who teach our kids in schools, public and private, professors who teach in colleges and universities, this crisis is bringing out the best in them. They're having to learn new ways to do what they do. All of us are having to be inventive and creative, and we've had to rise to this challenge. And it's really happening. This is a great opportunity for all of us to get better at what we do. In fact, those who offer any product for sale or any service, you're having to get better at what you do. Our comfort zone was fragile, and we're no longer allowed to settle there. This includes pastors and churches. We're doing things differently than we've ever done it, but it's a great opportunity. We're reaching more people. Churches are growing during this crisis. And there's a joke among pastors. I'll share it with all of you. Every pastor has become a tele-evangelist, something we never thought we would do. But this crisis is causing all of us to be creative and think outside the box and catch up with what's going on even in technology. And every career, I'm talking to you at home right now, whatever you do for a livelihood, every career, every vocation, every job, and every calling, whatever people do for a livelihood, you've got to become better at it. You've had to learn new ways. And I think of Charlie Moore, one of our members who's a great vocal coach, a voice teacher and piano teacher. And she's always had an anointing to do that. But during this crisis, she's teaching her students online, through Zoom, or some other social media platform. And this is a great opportunity. We should do more than just sit around and watch our hair grow while this is going on. It's an opportunity. We should take advantage of this time. People in business and ministry are reinventing themselves, becoming a new wineskin, a new structure. They're finding a new normal. And we are becoming a highly upgraded version of our former self. That's not bad. When all of this is over, God's going to look awfully smart, and all of us are going to be better at what we do. I've also noticed during this crisis that there's been an increase in acts of kindness and compassion. How wonderful when the news 24 hours a day is so shocking and sobering and so dark that there are glimmers of hope and brightness by the acts of kindness we see playing out. People are reaching out and connecting, checking on their neighbors and their friends. People who hear that someone has a need is jumping at the chance to help meet a need. We see that volunteers all over the country are stepping up and making face masks at home, and then donating them to the fire departments who are distributing them to hospitals and doctor's offices and other frontline personnel. So this is bringing out the best. Random acts of kindness are not so random anymore, but they're more intentional. even large companies that make automobiles have changed what they do temporarily and are making ventilators and medical equipment. I mean, this is an opportunity for the best in you to come forward and to shine. What a great opportunity we have. And then people are more compassionate. The Bible says in Matthew 9:36, when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion toward them. Now, for those of you who are taking advantage of opportunities to show kindness and compassion to your neighbors and your friends, even strangers during this time, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, and being kind is being Christ-like. Even Jesus was moved with compassion toward the people in need. And so we're enjoying watching a lot of these acts of kindness and compassion play out on the stage of the world right now. And one of the benefits, and I want to talk for a few minutes this morning about this, one of the benefits of this crisis, I know that sounds like an oxymoron or a paradox. It's a contradiction in terms, a benefit and a crisis. But my glass is always half full, at least, maybe more. I'm optimistic. I see a silver lining. And one of the benefits I'm enjoying, even during this crisis, is it is making me more thankful. I'm more grateful right now than I've ever been in my life. And as a holiday, we take one day a year. It's a Thursday toward the end of November, and we celebrate Thanksgiving, where our nation takes some time to thank God for the many blessings he's given us. But I'm having Thanksgiving almost every day right now, personally. In fact, I'll challenge you today. Let's have Thanksgiving in April. What do you say? Isn't God worth our worship and our gratitude and our thanksgiving today? Now, there's a question immediately. How can we honestly be thankful while so much wrong is going on? Well, I'll tell you how. Because in the middle of the darkness, and in the midst of the struggling and the pain and the suffering and even death, God is still showing goodness to all of us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, "Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Be thankful in all circumstances. It did not say be thankful for all, but while you're in the middle of every circumstance, the will of God for his people is to be thankful. And I can think of so many reasons to have Thanksgiving in April. Sometimes, and I'm doing more of this lately than I ever have, and it's wonderful. And just thanking God for the simple things, the things we used to take for granted. Thanking God for the heartbeat. Thank you, God, it just beat it. Thank you, it did it again. Thank you, God, it did it. And again and again, thank you, God, for every heartbeat. And every, I mean, you know, he gives them to us free. If we had to pay for a heartbeat, we couldn't. And then with every breath, he gives us free air to breathe. Begin with that for life itself. I've had every need met. And God has brought me through everything. Imagine what you've been through just for a moment. Just think back to everything you've been through in your life. The truth right now is God has brought you through everything you have ever been through. And he's been that good to me too. I see the goodness of God is still on display in the middle of the darkness, and his goodness is worth celebrating every day. The truth is, my worst day with God is better than my best day without him. I've found no other God that's attractive to me. I know the God we serve is Jehovah. He's God eternal. He's the giver of life and all good and perfect gifts. And my life has been loaded down with the many benefits of salvation. God's provided for me everything I need. And if you'll check closely right now, he's done that for you too. We are learning during this crisis there's a difference between a real need and a perceived need. I thought I had a real need. I thought I needed a haircut a week ago. But come to find out, I didn't really need it. And if credits were rolling, I would give my wife Brenda credit for my hairstyle today. This is all she can do with it, but things we used to think were so important now are in a proper order in terms of priority. And so discern the difference between a real need. If you have a real need, God's going to show up and meet it. The difference between a real need and just something you think you need, a perceived need. You may not need that bigger boat and whatever your toys are. No, that's not for you, Pastor Steve. You definitely need that bigger boat. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing." Now, there's a lot of anxiety obvious in the world today. People wringing their hands, worrying and fretting, not knowing the future, the uncertainty of everything it may seem. But the Bible gives us this instruction. When it comes to anxiety, don't allow it. Shut it down. How much clearer can it be? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Here it is again, the importance of gratitude and appreciating the goodness of God and giving him thanks even while we're praying and offering a request. Thanksgiving is to be an integral part of our prayer life even when we make requests of God. Now, we should make it a goal to be just as passionate in our thanksgiving as we are in making our request known to God in prayer. It's all a part, and it fits like a hand in a glove. Before you go to God and ask him for your laundry list of needs to be met, spend some time adoring him and worshiping him and showing him some appreciation and giving him some thanks for what he's already done. Now, I'll tell you, ingratitude can be shocking. I am amazed at how some people flaunt their ingratitude. It's almost like they're entitled. I remember, it's been a few years ago, I may not be over it because I still remember. I was walking into the post office one day and I was ahead of a lady who was walking behind me to go inside. And so, being the southern gentleman I am sometimes, I opened the door and I held it for the lady. I opened the door for a lady. Well, and I was patient and she came in. She did not comment to me. She did not thank me. She showed no appreciation. And I'm standing there holding the door while she struts in. And it was so obvious she did not even say thank you. So what did I do? I said, "You're welcome." In my head, I said that. I didn't say it out loud, but she could have at least. Everybody likes to be appreciated for a courtesy they've extended. God is the same way. Some of us need to spend more time being thankful to God, bragging on Him to Himself. He deserves it. And here's the way it plays out much of the time. A story in Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 12. As Jesus entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And He looked at them and said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking Him for what He had done. This was a Samaritan, or this was a stranger around those parts. And Jesus asked him, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Imagine it. 10 people stricken with an incurable terminal disease, a dreaded disease, leprosy. All 10 had the same need. And Jesus met every need for all 10. All 10 received the same blessing, but only one out of the 10 came back and offered thanksgiving to the Lord for what He had done. That's a sad statistics. 1 out of 10, that's 10%. Only 10% of thanksgiving is offered to God for what He's done. And He's blessed us all. He blessed all 10 of those men. They all got the same blessing, but only 10%. Ask yourself the question, am I giving God only 10% of the gratitude He deserves? I'm telling you, we can have Thanksgiving in April, and we can have it every day of the week. During this time when we're adjusting to a new normal, don't even know what that's going to fully look like yet. When there's so much bad news all around us, God is still good. He meets every need. He brings us through everything we have to go through. He never leaves us and never forsakes us. And so the downfall and the shortage many times is on those of us who receive the blessing, failing to come back and say thank you. Now, I believe if I had leprosy, if I were one of those 10 lepers, and I cried out to Jesus and called Him Master, have mercy on me. And if He in fact gave me an instruction, a simple instruction like go show yourself to the priest. And as I was obeying His instruction, I realized my leprosy is gone. I am healed. I believe, I would hope I'd be like that one. I think I would take the time to go back and find Him again and say, hey, I did not want to go on with my life business as usual until I first came back and gave you what you deserved, and that is my honor and my worship and my thanksgiving for healing me. But 9 out of 10 who got the same blessing walked away and never thought to thank God. And He's reminding me of a lot of the benefits of salvation. During this time, I'm having a lot more time with Him. I mean, what else can you do? What better thing can you do? Stuck at home, sheltering in place, God is there. You can worship from your home. And even when it's just you and Jesus, you've got enough for a service. And He will show up. He will speak to you. He will listen to you. And the first thing out of my mouth toward God frequently, every day, is just thank you. Thank you for every blessing. Try to number them. Try to write them down. You'll be exhausted before you even scratch the surface. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Sometimes we go to prayer and our mind is alert, we think, because we know what we need for God to do. And we will give him a list. But it says, when you go to prayer, have an alert mind and a thankful heart. The two are very important in our prayer life. We're talking about, these verses are talking about a prayer life. Be anxious for nothing, but when you pray and you have your request, make them known to God with thanksgiving. And even here again, when you pray, have a clear mind and a thankful heart. You cannot really effectively pray without thanksgiving being in the mix. It's a part of our prayer lifestyle. Most people just think prayer is me coming to God when I have a need, and only after I've been everywhere else. I mean, I've tried this and that and the other, but oh, it's finally come down to this. I have no option left but to finally go to God in prayer. And thanksgiving is nowhere even involved. But I'm learning to be thankful. This crisis has taken so much from so many of us, some loved ones, some friends, even in distant places. Our comfort certainly is gone. A lot of things that were convenient for us have been taken away. But the one thing that is rising to the top in the middle of all this crisis is my awareness, and yours too, I'm sure, of how much we have to be thankful for. I'm thankful for things I took for granted. I thought I'd always be able to do that or have it, and now they're gone, at least temporarily. My flexibility is gone, just like yours in many ways. But the one thing that's shining right now is how obvious it is that there is so much we can be thankful for. I'm more grateful in this crisis, I believe, than I was before it started. A lot of good is going on, even in the midst of the bad. God's going to have the last word. The Message translation reads that verse this way: stay alert in prayer with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Your eyes wide open in gratitude. When you go to prayer, eyes wide open in gratitude. I mean, I think it's even possible to go to the Lord in prayer and have a need in mind, and you start thanking him, eyes wide open in gratitude, and spend your whole time in prayer doing nothing but thanking him, and then get up and forget to ask for what you really need. Because there is a confidence, there is a certainty that God's going to get you through it. He's going to meet your need. If it's a real need, he'll meet it. One translation says, be watchful and thankful. The more alert we are, the more aware we are of what God is doing, the more thankful we will be. This is happening in my life. I'm sure it is happening in yours as well. If not, give it a chance. But be more watchful than you've ever been. More alert. The more aware I am, the more watchful I am, the more thankful I am. There have been so many blessings that's just flown right by me and I took them for granted. I'm more watchful now. I'm more alert now. The more alert and aware we are of what God is doing, the more thankful we will be. I want to reread one verse and add another one to it. Philippians 4 and verse 6, we read it just a moment ago. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then the next verse gives you the benefits. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Just listen to those words. Isn't that the medicine we need right now in the middle of this pandemic? The peace of God. How much peace? So much that your mind, your understanding can't handle it. You'll be saying, I cannot understand for the life of me how, in the middle of a world gone crazy and so many things about the future uncertain right now, I will never be able to understand why I have such peace ruling in my life. That's the peace of God they're talking about right here. It will surpass your capacity to even understand how much peace you have. And it will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Guarding your heart and your mind. We need to put a guard on our heart and on our mind. If you let your mind just wander unrestrained during this pandemic, you'll be a miserable person in just a few minutes. But there is a guard God offers us for our hearts and for our minds. If you don't have a guard on your mind, you'll go crazy. You'll be insane because of all the negatives and all the evil that we see in the world. So the peace of God comes when we're anxious for nothing, but instead of anxiety, we pray about everything and we throw a lot of thanksgiving into the mix of our prayer there. Then that's when the promise comes to pass. The peace of God rushes through our spirit and our soul. We can't understand it with our mind. It's that real to us. And our hearts and our minds are guarded by His peace. Let the peace of God guard your heart and your mind. And just before I close, I want to share some verses out of the Old Testament. They are always good, but especially now. It's in Isaiah chapter 40. It puts things in perspective because it's easy with all this going on. Every day seems like the day before. Been a few days I've asked, you know, is it Monday or Thursday or what? And my wife says it's like Groundhog Day, the movie, the Groundhog Day. Every day the man gets up and does the same thing the day before, even skips the same mud puddle on the street as he's walking. Every day looks like the other one. And so it's easy to lose perspective and to lose sight of God. But this puts everything in perspective about God, even at a time like this. Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 10. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, He brings His reward with Him as He comes. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in His arms, holding them close to His heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. I mean, our God is so awesome. He's so big. This darkness is nothing to Him. Verse 12, who else has held the oceans in His hand? Who has measured off the heavens with His fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give Him advice or teach Him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does He need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach Him what is right or show Him the path of justice? No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. He's awesome. He's amazing. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. All the wood in Lebanon's forest and all Lebanon's animals would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. Talk about how worthy He is of thanksgiving. Verse 22, God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Ask the Holy One. Look up into the heavens, who created all the stars. He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your trouble? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the name of the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That puts everything, all the mess and the craziness in the world, into perspective. When you filter everything that's happening right now through the power of God, He has it together. And we are the apple of His eye. We can be certain and sure He's going to meet our needs and get us through this. This is a time that all of us have. He's given us this time. Now, He did not send this crisis to teach us anything. When I want to teach my children something, I do not make them sick and kill them in order to teach them something. This didn't come from God. But He can teach His people things in every season. And this is a prime opportunity during these days, during these weeks of crisis, when we are in our homes more than we've ever been. We can look to this God, and the first thing we need to do is give Him thanks for all that He's already done. Now, I'm going to pray for all of you, all of our members, our church family and friends worshiping in your homes today. And I especially want to pray for those who are watching either right now live or later today or later in the week, who may not know that Jesus is the master of your life. You've heard about Him all your life, probably been to church. But so far as a personal relationship, that's a foreign concept to you. And so if that's you, then here's how your life can be changed on a dime instantly right now. Just pray to God. And instead of pray, I'll use the word talk. Just talk to God. Say something like this: God, please come to me. Please come to where I am. I'm aware right now I need more of you in my life. I am making a mess of my life. I'm trying to manage it myself. I know you can manage my life better. Come in to my life and take over. I will yield and submit to you. I'm calling you my Lord and my Savior today. Teach me more about you. Fill me with your Spirit, who is the teacher from the inside out. I'm trusting you more than I ever have with my life today, in Jesus' name. And if you've prayed that and meant it, Jesus is with you right now, and His promise is He'll never leave you and never forsake you. If you did pray that prayer and commit your life to the Lord, I'd like to know about it. In fact, the Bible says you need to tell it, and I'd appreciate hearing it. You can email us here at the church at ablife@aol.com. We'll get it and celebrate this milestone in your life, and I will write you back. I'll make sure you have everything you need to grow and mature in the Spirit. And I pray for all of our families watching from home I pray that every need you have will be met. I pray that you'll be encouraged instead of discouraged. And I'm even believing for all of you that this is going to be a great week in your life. In spite of everything, we're blessing you to have a wonderful week. Thank you for worshiping from home today. And God bless you all week long. Pastor Steve, if you will come and let our people know some of the great things going on. And I think you do have some very good news that you've never shared with anybody yet that should be an encouragement to all of our church family.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't want to get in trouble, but... Love you.
Love you.
Now, we're going to have to stop that.
I know. good morning, Abundant Life. So good to see everybody online this morning. Big shout out to Jeffrey and Tammy and Millie and Brian and so many people watching on Facebook, Retta and Rome and Christy and Elaine and on and on and on, just so many people. I love to see the hearts go up, man. I don't know what it is. It just warms my heart whenever you punch the little heart button. It's like everybody's just giving a virtual hug to everybody. So I do have some announcements. There's two more opportunities today to join us live on Facebook. 4 o'clock, the gang, Coach Perk will be bringing a word. So gang members, go out there and invite all your friends to join you at 4 o'clock. It's the easiest way to go to church, isn't it? Just go turn on your phone while you're doing what you're doing, and you are in church right there at it. So I know Coach Perkins and Jade have a word for you today. It's just a brief word to encourage you through this week. And then at 6 o'clock, join us on the Farm for Kids Church. I think we have more adults joining us than kids just to see what in the world's going on out there. But I know that something fun will be taking place today on the farm. So that's at 6 o'clock this afternoon. So join us on Facebook Live. I'm loving the hearts right now. They're going off like crazy. All right. I would ask that you remember Lisa and Eddie Brockington in your prayers. Their mom, V. Sesson, went home to be with the Lord this past week. She was ready to go, such a trooper and a strong lady of faith. So she's in heaven right now rejoicing with the Lord. But I would ask that you remember Lisa and Eddie, as that's their mom. And then now the news that you've never heard before, but I'm an uncle again. My brother Stephen and Aaron Watts, I guess Aaron gave birth to James Wyatt Wallace this past Thursday, the 23rd. He weighs 7 pounds and 11 ounces. Look at that beautiful boy. He's gorgeous. I think he looks like I look. Just beautiful. Look at there. Got a new big brother, Cash. So if you would like to be a blessing to this family, just bring your gift by the church. We're here Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. The offices are open from 9 to 2. So if you would come by and just bring a gift, if you'd like to do that, we will make sure that Stephen and Aaron and baby James gets the gift that you have brought for them. And the final announcement I'll make before I bring a benediction is, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your generosity. I know I've said it before, but in the book of Proverbs, it says that a generous man prospers. And even during this time, we're seeing people prosper. We're seeing it. Just this past week, with 26 million plus applying for unemployment, there was a guy in the church called Giving God Praise. I got a job. I was just hired, and he starts his job in the morning at 6 o'clock. So we're praying for you, brother, that you do not miss that alarm at 5 o'clock to work. So, but a generous man prospers in everything. So thank you for your faithfulness in giving. You can give at Abundant Life in three ways. You can give online at ALCFlorence.com. Go on there and click donate, and it's real easy to do. You can give at our P.O. Box. It's P.O. Box 2244, Florence, South Carolina, 29503. Or you can stop by the church and drop it in the depository right outside the office door, and we will be sure to receive your offering. Thank you again for that, and God bless you for being faithful in your giving. Our benediction comes with instruction and a blessing today. It's found in 2 Corinthians 13:11. It says this as we close our service. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace be with you. Amen and amen. God bless you.